Well, that's God's word for us this morning. And as we read it together, God is speaking to our hearts. And I pray that as you read those verses, something came to your heart and to your soul that really provided you with a wonderful insight to our Father in heaven. But let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. Our whole lives depend on your word, your Son, Jesus Christ. It comes into our life. It transforms our lives. And Father, we know that unless our heart's prepared, then we're having a very difficult time hearing you. So prepare our hearts. Help me to share the word that you want me to share. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. I think all of us here have grown up with stories either from TV or the movies or books where you have the epic battle between good and evil. Okay? And I think some of us have grown on that. I remember when I was growing up, Rifleman. I don't know if you remember. I know the older people might remember that, but Rifleman and how he goes out and goes after the evil. Or I know some of you, Bonanza. I love the Bonanza. Yeah, I always thought I was the good-looking son in there. So, no. But I always loved the way they fought evil. And again, there's some amazing stories. It's an epic battle. In that epic battle, sometimes they make these stories so good that you feel like evil is going to completely win. But somehow at the end, good overcomes evil. I think some of us know who has seen Batman before. When I was in fifth grade, I saw my first Batman, you know, the one that has POW, Bat Cookies, or whatever it is. And I remember Batman fighting the Joker and the Penguin, and I couldn't wait to get my Bat decoder on and, you know, and stand before the TV and watch it. And I know there's other stuff out there. We have Star Wars and we have Lord of the Rings. But one story that came out in the 1800s, it was a story about Robert Louis Stevenson, and he wrote a book about Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And I don't know if you ever read that book or heard about it, but it is an amazing story between good and evil. When Dr. Jekyll, when Mr. Hyde became Mr. Hyde, he was awful, and you could see this war between both of them. And I want you to know that that story is very, very real in our lives. And Paul brings it out. That fight, that battle we have between the spirit and the flesh. And that epic battle has started at the very get-go back in Adam and Eve when sin entered into our lives. And now we have this battle of doing good while our flesh and our sinfulness wants to do bad. And so we're going to be looking at that. Paul brings this out very clearly because he understands what we're going through. He truly does, and God understands that. So he wants us to know that we have this amazing helper, this mentor, this person who is with us when we're struggling with fighting our flesh and the evil that comes from that, and that's the Holy Spirit. So before we go into the story, this story, as we know for the last 4 weeks, is a story, a great story, about a church in Galatia, in the area of Galatia, and there was something happening that was a miracle. It was amazing. It was something that God always intended his people to do, and that is for people to come together, no matter if you're Jewish or Gentiles, come together, and because of Jesus Christ, that wonderful, wonderful common denominator, we have community. It's a blessed thing, and that's why we can go anywhere in the world, anywhere in the Fairbanks, and we could run into a different ethnic group, a person of a different color, and when we find out that we are Christians and we have this amazing love for Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, it seems like we have instant family. I've met so many Christians throughout the world, and it was. We have this common denominator, and there's family, and God loves this. And this is what's happening in this church that was basically not really happening in Jerusalem, because most of the people that were Christians there and a part of the churches were Jewish people, but things were happening there. But here in Galatia, this was a model story. What a beautiful thing. And God celebrates that, but something happened. Satan always loves to mess things up. And so what we know is something very sinister happens. Representatives from the Jewish church from Jerusalem came by, and they came and basically told the Gentile people, guys, if you don't do something, if you don't commit circumcision, then you're not really a part of the family. And Paul was ticked off. He was angry. He called them you are cursed. He stood up to Peter saying, Peter, what's going on? You can't do this. You can't put a price tag on salvation. You can't do that. No one can do that. And so he brings this out very, very clearly. He brings out the fact that what that does, it brings division in the church and conflict. But there was also other things happening in that church. There was division and there was conflict. And Paul heard about it and knew about it. And he also knew what the flesh does. And he'll bring this out eventually. The works of the flesh, part of it he brings out is the fact that we tend to not resolve our conflict. We tend to divide over silly things. And flesh is the one that basically pushes us into those situations. So he gives us this amazing, wonderful story. Last week, what the flesh does, and part of the works of the flesh, it likes to seek vengeance. And that was last week's lesson. Our flesh seeks vengeance, but God wants us to serve each other. That is one of the works of the flesh. That when we are hurt, that when we are divided, instead of trying to bring God's reconciliation in a situation, we find ourselves trying to get back at the person or the group of people that has hurt us. And so we seek vengeance. And one of the greatest ways to seek vengeance is what we see, is what we found out last week, is gossip. Gossip is a great way. You don't have to deal with the person. You don't have to confront with them, but behind their backs, you can sit there, and this is what Paul says. You can bite, you can chew, and you can devour. He said this, but if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another. And we gave that image of an orca whale that comes in, and he grabs that blue whale, and they bite, they chew, they devour, and that's what happens in gossip. We sit there, we talk about a person, we bite, we chew, and then we devour. It's a terrible way. It's a terrible thing. And that's something that we, the flesh, does. When we find ourselves being hurt, we seek vengeance. And if anybody ever starts to do that in front of you with another person, first of all, we're talking about God's son or daughter. But also remember that if they're talking about that person in front of you, guess what you think they might be doing when you're not around that. So the flesh will do bad things. And Paul says, I want you to understand this so you can understand the beautiful freedom that comes from by following the Holy Spirit that gives us this fruit. And we'll discover that here in a bit. So let's go into the word right now, the epic battle between good and evil. So, but I say, Paul says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Okay? What he gives us a picture is that when we find we are walking in this world, when we're struggling with our flesh, when we're struggling things around it, it is great and wonderful to have the Holy Spirit with us, which God has given us, so we can deal with the evil and sinfulness that our flesh wants to do, as well as other things are trying to hurt us. So it says, walk with the Spirit. Then he says this, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other. They're opposed to keep him from doing the things you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Scott McKnight says this. He says this. Such a life, he's saying, is living in the Spirit. But this life is a war. A war between the Spirit and the flesh. But this war is not about some personal psychological struggle or the struggle with a person's soul. Rather, as E.P. Sander has said, the war has to do with which power one body or soul belongs to. The powers are flesh and spirit. That's the war. That's the war. That's the battle. Okay? So he brings this out in a little diaphragm. Live by the Spirit, in verse 16, and you escape flesh. The conflict is between flesh and spirit, 17a. The conflict prohibits doing God's will, 17b. And 18, be led by the Spirit and you will escape the law or the flesh that is battling you. This is a battle. It's a battle over doing God's will in our lives. The flesh and spirit are opposites. When one lives in the flesh, one does not do what God's Spirit wants. And our flesh fights that. So here is another little quote from E.P. Sanders. He says this: in general, we see something fundamentally important here as to how Paul depicts the Christian life. It is life in the Spirit, the life of a person who has surrendered to letting the Spirit have complete control. But we see here also that one does not gain this life by discipline or by mustering up the energy. We think that we have the energy, we have the willpower to be able to do this, to fight against the flesh. He goes, no. We can't do it that way. We have no strength, we have no energy, but God gives us what? The Holy Spirit. So he says this: one does not huddle with oneself in the morning, gather together his or her forces, and charge unto the field of life full of self-determined direction. Rather, the Christian life is a life of consistent surrender to the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. If I can put it in another way, it's like the good Wolverine. I love Wolverines. I just think some about it. They're a good Wolverine fighting a bad wolf. And when they battle together, they're fighting. They're fighting to win. And what we know, what you feed and how you feed whoever that Wolverine or that that wolf, that the one that's most fed is going to win. And God basically say, when we live the life of the Spirit, when we live and fill our life with God's Spirit and God's Word, we are then able to fight this battle with the flesh. So this morning, God's truth to us is this: there is a war between the Spirit of God inside you and our flesh, and God wants us to win. There's a war between the Spirit of God and our flesh. So, I want to give you an illustration, and I know I don't encourage this. You never want to encourage your children to do this, okay? But I believe that this illustration is going to be embedded in your mind. It's the illustration of boxing, all right? And I used to be a boxer when I was younger, and I want you to know that my goal as a boxer is to hurt. I know it's awful, don't encourage that, but it's to hurt. And I was taught to box, and you get into a protective position, and you protect your head, and you protect your body. If you don't, you're going to find yourself being hurt badly or knocked out. And so in boxing, my goal is to punch and to hurt and punch. And I'm looking for every opening. If he guards his face, I hit him to the side. If he guards his face, I hit him in the stomach. If he drops down, I hit him to the face. All I do is what I want to do is hurt. And eventually I want to destroy this person. By destroying this person, I knock him out. Yes, it's an awful situation. Yes, I do not encourage you ever to do this because it is bad. It's about hurting the other person. And for those who think football is a glorious sport, I want you to know, as a linebacker, all I cared about is one thing, is to hurt. If I could put a guy down, whatever running back, if I get him on the ground and they're hurting because I hit him so hard, I know I've done my job. And we look for those opportunities. So get this picture in your mind. The situation where someone is trying to hurt you. And that is what the flesh does. That is what a sinful life does. Sin leads to death. When we follow sin, the consequences of sin, all it does, it hurts us. It hurts us, it destroys us, it pulls us apart, and the intent of sin is to destroy us. And let me share you a quote from Scripture that tells us that. James, the brother of Jesus Christ, says this in James 1. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. God doesn't tempt. God allows for things, but he doesn't tempt. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. Desire is not a bad thing, but when it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. Sin and Satan wants our death. Now, if you don't think that's true, well, go on. Live by the flesh. Allow flesh. Let the consequences of flesh and the sin just eat you up. You think we can get away with it. We think we can justify sin. It's going to hurt us. And its intent is to hurt. So sin is hurting, 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 hurting. And eventually what happens, as you know, you're getting weaker if you don't do something about it. If you don't guard yourself, if you don't do something that counters that, eventually it's going to destroy you. And this is the picture that Paul wants us to have. God wants us to have that. When we fight with our flesh and we allow our flesh to get in and take the punches, and when we lead our life by flesh, all it's going to do, it's going to hurt us, it's going to hurt us, and eventually it's going to destroy us. That is why he brings us out here in Galatians 5. He says, I want you to be very, 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 very aware of the works of the flesh. And we'll go ahead and learn that here eventually. But these things you do are going to hurt you. They're going to hurt yourself, your relation with God. They're going to hurt yourself personally. But also it's going to hurt the relationships around you. And he gives us these categories here in Galatians 5. But also what he does is that, but if you live by the life of the Spirit, by the fruit of the Spirit, by the fear, what's going to happen is you're going to be able to develop beautiful things in your life that's not going to be responding to the flesh. You're going to be responding to the Spirit. Walk with the Spirit. Allow the Spirit to transform your heart. So let's go to that. And and that's why Paul was so angry, because he saw this church, these people living by the flesh. This jerk, I'll be very clear, the jerk, this person who's using God's name in vain, this cursed person who came in and try to put a price tag on grace, is awful. It's absolutely awful. You cannot put a price tag on salvation. It's a gift from God. We receive it by faith. If anybody tries to put some type of limitation on salvation, turn to that person and say, no, I don't have to do this or this or this to be a Christian. I'm a Christian because God has given me the Holy Spirit has given me this gift of salvation, and I am free from trying to live the law. And then also, the greatest strategy that Satan gives us, and Paul sees it and God sees this, is division and conflict. When we don't resolve conflict, when we don't pull the wedge out, what conflict will do eventually divide us. And when our flesh is in the middle of it and we're not being led by the Spirit, our flesh is going to respond in a way that brings more division to that conflict. So God wants us to win. I want to sit here and pause for a second. And I just want you to know that as a Christian, as a leader, I've witnessed division so many times. Throughout churches, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, pastor friends of myself. And I tell you, I just want you to know that division is one of the most awful things that a person can ever go through. Here we are. We are Christians. We're supposed to be led by God's Spirit. We're filled by God's Spirit. And we find ourselves in a situation where we're responding with our flesh. We allow the flesh to take over, and what we find ourselves in a situation with brothers and sisters, we find ourselves hurting each other. We find ourselves breaking apart. I cannot see in my life through all these situations where God is being glorified. It hurts me, it pains me when I hear of my churches and communities and families that have been ripped apart because of division. It baffles me. Why aren't we being led by God's Spirit? Why aren't we surrendering our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Now, I want you to know that I struggle with it too. There's times in my life I find myself, man, responding with the flesh. God says, no, anytime you respond with the flesh, it is not right. Respond to my Spirit. Respond to my Word. And allow for me to heal and bring reconciliation in this situation. So I sit there because it does discourage me when I hear of so many situations with my friends, with my families, with my brothers and sisters in Christ. It always, always bothers me. So just a remark that I struggle with that. But God wants us to win. God wants us to win. God doesn't want us to be defeated and destroyed by our flesh and by Satan. So what God does, he gives us the Holy Spirit. He provides us with the Holy Spirit. It's a way that we become holy, and part of the Holy Spirit reminds us so dearly that God wants us to have a loving relationship, a life full of love. And when we respond in love, we basically respond with what God is doing with the Holy Spirit. So, is God's Spirit a sufficient guide for Christian living? Yes, it is. So here are the things. In order to facilitate this application, in order to understand what God does, let me give you just a little short history of who the Holy Spirit is and how the Holy Spirit became a part of our life. So the first thing we know is that the Holy Spirit is what Christians receive at conversation. When we give our life to Christ, when we are birthed into the kingdom of God, what God gives us, a part of that process is a baptism. He gives us the Holy Spirit that lives with us. It's a part of our conversion. It gives us the ability to call God to become the son of God or a daughter of God. In fact, this is Father's Day. You know, in Galatians 4:6, and because you are sons and daughters, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, and we as Christians who have been converted by God's grace, we're the only ones can turn to God and say, Father, Abba, Father, because now we are sons and daughters. Now, people are going, hold it, Pastor Peter, what do you mean? People before they become Christians, that they're not sons and daughters? Well, in the world of Christianity, okay, we used to be sons and daughters. What happened is sin came into the world, and sin took us away from that relationship. We're no longer sons and daughters. We're created by God in his image, but we're not his sons and daughters. God brings Jesus Christ into our life, brings us back. We, because of Jesus Christ, now becomes a part of the family, and we're adopted sons. What Paul talks about, now we have not been adopted, we have been reclaimed as a son and daughter, and because of that, we're part of his family, and because of that, we can talk to God, Father, which is an amazing, amazing dynamic when you really, really think about it. So it's a special relationship. So we have that, and then the second part is those who are in the Spirit are persecuted by those in the flesh. People that know that you're a Christian, people that know that you're following God and you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, we are going to be persecuted. Just that's what happens. Then three, those who are in spirit exercise hope for the coming establishment of God's righteousness. That means we have this hope. This hope is that one day, because of this, the Holy Spirit reminds us that we have a heaven. We have a place for us. And as we live life, that this hope provides us with direction and perceptions that we need to be able to live a life in this very rough time in this world. Then fourthly, those who are in the Spirit are victorious over works of the flesh. God says, because I have given you the Spirit, I have enabled you, I have empowered you, and the Holy Spirit is transforming your sinful heart to become a heart of flesh, and now what you can do is you can follow me and not respond to the flesh, and you have won the battle over the flesh. So that's his gift to us this morning, is that Jesus Christ and the Father in heaven have given us this gift, the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit walks with us. We walk with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our moral guide. The Holy Spirit, anything that we do good comes from God. Anything that we've done good is the Holy Spirit working in our lives. We don't take credit for that goodness because God, through his Holy Spirit, provides us with the necessary way to be good. So anything we do good is from the Spirit. Anything that we do that is damaging, destroying people's lives, hurting relationships, doing things that hurt our body, doing things that hurt my relationship with my Father in heaven, anything that destroys and divides my relationship with people, that is the works of the flesh. So, many times when you find yourself getting riled up, anytime you find yourself you want to do something bad, you know, doing something bad is not the same as doing bad. So when we find there and we sit there and we see our flesh battling and we want to lash out, we want to say this, we want to do this or whatever, you know, God is reminding us of the Holy Spirit, that is from the flesh. This is not good. You don't have to do this. Count on me. I have the Holy Spirit. I'll give you the strength to do good. And it's a process. And God says, through that process, I'm transforming your heart. So when you find yourself battling the flesh, God says, I've won. We have won. Follow my Holy Spirit. Respond to my Holy Spirit. Allow for my Spirit to defeat this flesh. So, what a great Father's Day gift to us. God our Father, who is so good, gave us the Holy Spirit. Provide us with the Holy Spirit that we can fight the flesh and we're victorious. That is his gift to us. We can thank God for that. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we heard and we sung just earlier, you're such a good, good, good Father. And you reveal your goodness every day to us. You reveal your goodness in a way that we don't deserve your love. We don't deserve your mercy. We don't deserve your grace, but you continue to pour out your goodness, your grace, your mercy in our lives. We thank you for your Holy Spirit guiding us. We thank you for forgiving our sins. We thank you for making us into people that glorify you, people filled with hope, people filled with purpose and joy. You're a good, good Father. And we thank you for this. In your Son's name, amen.